Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We're on ESPN, too. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. Check us out on the app. Key is in Houston today for our spring tour. Live from the studios of ESPN Houston, 97.5 and 92.5 FM. What's going on, Key?
What up, Key?
Holding it down for y'all. On the spring tour for y'all. You know? Just holding it down for y'all.
For y'all.
That's right. That's what's up. Homeboy.
How are they treating you in Houston after all what you talked about the Astros?
I mean, look, I think they like me. That's number one.
I think they like me.
He thinks everyone likes him.
Yeah. You have to think positive in life, Max. You can't walk around being negative all the time, right?
That's right.
So I think they like me. They appreciate the fact that I'm here, and we put on a great show for them to listen to as they ride into work every single morning. I don't think they appreciate the fact that I consistently curveball coming. I don't think they like the fact that I teased them about the Astros. So they tried to bring up yesterday at the event that I was at that the Dodgers cheated based on the letter and the Yankees.
It's
not the same. No one ever got fired. No one got suspended. No one got anything taken away. Where the Astros, people were fired and suspended or whatever. Same thing with the Sox. So I'm like, oh, well, they didn't get caught. You guys got caught. So I think that you know, they were a little mad about that. But other than that, it was a great time. I had a great time, great pizza. It was fun. Pat didn't like my pizza, though.
Did you have the pizza named after you? What was the name of the pizza called again?
Just throw me the damn pizza.
What's on the throw me the damn pizza slice?
It was bacon, sausage.
Okay. A lot of meat.
It was meat. Bacon, sausage, pepperoni.
Bacon on pizza, I don't think.
I believe salami.
Damn, what?
Yeah, it was light. It was light,
what?
Though.
That's light? That ain't
well,
light.
Well, hold on, Jay. Let me finish, dog.
Okay. Are you still going?
Hold on.
Drizzle it on.
A little olives.
Mm-hmm.
Artichokes.
Got any onions
And here's
in
what's
there?
Gonna make you really laugh, Jay. Arugula.
How are we trying to...
What? They got every part of the pig and then some arugula.
I want the healthy option. Yeah, just sprinkle some arugula on it.
You know, the first thing they was talking about, man, get the hell out of here with this California ass pizza.
But by the way, that kind of is key. A little sprinkle of arugula in there, right?
Yeah,
I had the artichokes in there, too. It was bomb, though.
Yeah.
God, it was bomb.
How many slices you had? You can only have one.
I only had two slices. Yeah. I had two. And they were small. They weren't even big. They was like tiny slices.
Okay,
and Elizabeth, who works with us, on all of our travel arrangement stuff, Jay, and you know, she comes with us in the marketing side. She didn't originally want to touch it because Pat was kind of like, the best pizza's in Philly and New York. You know, giving you the whole
standing
look.
On principle, Pat not enjoying himself.
He tried to scare her off, but it didn't work.
Because oh, she tried it. I thought she doesn't eat meat.
Everybody was eating it.
Ooh.
And so you had to dive in. I think he may have tried it late on a sneak tip.
What's your favorite? Oh, by the way, apropos of this topic, what's your favorite toppings on a pizza?
I'm classic, man. Just give me extra cheese and pepperoni.
What about you, Kate?
I'm cool.
It just depends. I like the sort of pizza that I just described.
Yeah, me too. The sausage, pepperoni, and onions. I like onions on
I
there,
can't
too.
Eat onions on my pizza.
Yeah, man.
Nah,
I like it. Yep.
That's doing a lot to my stomach.
And I love onions, but I can't have it on a pizza. Just something about it on a pizza doesn't taste right.
I got one for you. Speaking of onions.
Yeah, right. That's
Giannis was.
Speaking of onions, you know, an onion looks like a basketball. Sure it is.
Speaking of onions, boy, Drew Holiday. All right, that went over everyone's head. All right, listen. Showed some.
I was the one that.
Oh, no, here's one for you, Max. No, here's one for you.
Yes.
Speaking of cheese in Milwaukee, blah blah blah. There you go.
I'll tell you what, Giannis. Like, we can talk about him, but it reminds me when My brother Sam and I, my late great brother Sam and I, used to argue about basketball because, you know, your sports enemies are always the people who are closest to you. You find something to debate, even if you're rooting for the same team, whatever. But we'd be talking about the Lakers during their run. I was the older brother. I took Shaq. And he's the younger brother. He took Kobe.
Don't let him. Just
right?
play. Finish your story.
And he used to say, look, the Lakers, whenever Kobe balls out, the Lakers win. And that was his argument. Like, Kobe's the most important player, talking about in the finals and stuff. And I'd be like, yeah, but Sam, Shaq balls out every single game, right? So, like, you just take that for granted. That's where Giannis is to me now, guys. Giannis balls out every game. That's why I think why Shaq saw Giannis, and that was the first dude he said, yeah, he can have the Superman nickname, right? He is that kind of player.
Yeah, he's a different Superman. Dwight Howard was a Superman, but he wasn't giving it to you like Giannis was giving it to you night in and night out, giving you 40 and 10 and 11 and 38 and 12 and playing on the defensive end with the blocks. It's crazy, Jay. I really wasn't feeling Giannis 2 years ago. I was kind of like, But then last year when he came back off that knee injury, he won me over, and it doesn't even matter to him. He could care less, but he won me over big time. I'm a huge fan, and I understand a lot of people, you know, they don't respect him at the level that we probably do. The dude is crazy. I sure wish he was a Laker. Hey, man, hurry up and get your contract over.
He's like a Herculean Inspector Gadget. You remember Inspector Gadget with Go-Go Gadget arms that can extend, right? Like his ability to absorb contact and finish by extending his long arms to finish plays are off the charts. And he's not the most complete, skillful player, but he's the most dominant player.
He's pretty skillful considering
his skills
are evolving. And
yes. But see, yeah. And here's the thing I love about it, Key, real quick. So he made a pivotal three. They were down six in the fourth quarter late in the game. He made a three. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people have said he shoots too many threes, even though he shot slightly better this season. Not for the series, though. For the series, my man's shooting like 12% from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. Before that shot, he was 3 of 20 from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. But took a three with confidence that if he misses that shot, they're not in the game. They lose the game. The game's over pretty much. Makes a three, goes 4 of 21, and just kept them single-handedly in the game in the first half, man. Like, Jrue Holiday definitely helped seal the game, but there's no way they're in a position to even seal the game unless Giannis has this masterful performance.
Yeah, I don't need him to shoot the threes because, you know, when you say, well, he's not the most skillful, blah, blah, blah. Man, I don't need the skill. Whatever he's doing, do that.
Right.
I don't need
skills
you doing all that.
Yeah.
Whatever you do it, just do that.
You know, Key, how people try to get into, like, is he the most complete player in the game? And we have, like, all these ways that we try to describe the game from a skill set perspective.
Is 40 and 11, is that complete?
Yeah, but I'll say this. Look, I think he has the most complete footwork in the game. Like him, Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but what does that do?
Because footwork is a skill set to me. Watch his feet when he gets to the lane, though, Key.
No, but Key's point is skill is a means to an end. If you can achieve the results, who cares how you do it?
But you guys are missing my point. I'm changing that skillful because people think skill set, ball handling, stuff like that. Uh-huh. I'm saying watch his feet, man. Mm-hmm. His ability to move around you with Euro steps to finish through you. Like the footwork is off the charts, but it's something that we don't focus on because I don't think people carry the same value with footwork as they do with ball handling.
And shooting. I'll tell you this. Giannis has great handles for a footer, basically, as Key would say, right? He's basically a seven-footer. So for a dude like that, he handles it great. And he shoots it okay. Like, shooting around 30% from three is a nice little thing in his arsenal. If his ball handling skills were – if his handles were 10, 15% better and he shot 35 from three, he'd be the best player who ever lived.
Max,
right? As it is, he's just the best player right now.
I get it. I understand the skill stuff, Jay, and all that. If you get into the paint and it's a bucket.
Oh, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you on it.
Every single time you get in that green area.
I'm just trying to tell you, it's what basketball players talk about.
No,
like they try to minimize his greatness. I'm like, nah, don't do that.
Yeah. There's skill.
I get it.
There's skill there.
I get it, dog.
Plenty of skill. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. What went wrong for the Celtics? And our point guard tells you why Marcus Smart broke the golden rule for point guards.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Reminiscing about the Celtics in these playoffs pretty soon if it stays like this. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. And with us now,
Notorious B-E-R-G.
That's right.
My man.
Seth there he is, Greenberg. Coach. There he is.
Coach J. Will Seth all tied Greenberg. Up. I like the tie, J. Will. Wow.
I'm coming today, wow, man. You know, they got me on First Take. And
I like it. I like
here,
that.
You know,
Kate, nice T-shirt.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Coach, it's 6 o'clock in the 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in Houston, Texas on a tour. Well, I don't need to be knotted up. Since when do you need to be knotted up to talk sports early in the morning?
Coach, you missed it, though, because Key at least has, like, a regular ESPN T-shirt on today. He had to take a magic marker and or a Sharpie and black out part of another T-shirt during a show a couple weeks ago, took that T-shirt, packed it with him on this road trip, and wore it on the air again yesterday.
Hey, Max, Coach. I'm
speechless. Key can pull that off, though. You see, for me, I couldn't pull that off. I understand.
Certain
by
level
way,
of swag,
I'm
Coach.
I'm betting on you guys in this 2-on-2 game, by the way. I'm betting on you guys in this 2-on-2
as
game.
As well as you should.
Key, I'm going to give you one bit of advice. You know, J. Will's been my partner for a long time also. One thing you got to do, stay out of the way.
Oh, you know I'm smart enough to know that.
Coach, I want you to listen to what Drew Holiday had to say on ESPN Radio after the game about his block on Marcus Smart.
Maybe there's more than one defensive player of the year on the court.
Ooh.
Fair. I'm just saying maybe because I'm so happy that Marcus got it, but I'm up there with him.
You see, Seth, I love the fact that Drew Holiday comes from that weak side for the block shot, but it leads me to my frustration about that moment, and I don't know if the play was a broken down play where Marcus just reacted. Maybe he did. Why isn't the ball in the hands of Jason Tatum? Like, I need a bucket down the stretch. Why isn't the ball in the hands of my best player? I've seen that with every other team. Why did I not see it with the Boston Celtics down the stretch last night?
Well, it was a broken play. Pat Connaughton overran the inbounds play on that little zipper down screen. He overran it. And you know what? Marcus Smart made the right play. He ripped it, went to the baseline. Look, Drew Holiday, he made it a ridiculous play, getting level of the ball, making the block, saving the basketball. I mean, that's just a big-time play. And Connaughton, second effort. You talk about second effort, he got back into play so Holiday could make the play. But look where Holiday comes from. Weak side, you see Jason Tatum. I think what was supposed to happen is Smart gets the ball. It was going to be a wide pin down, which actually Tatum scored the possession before on a wide pin down on the weak side. They never got to it because Connaughton overran the passing lane. Instinct takes over. Boom. Marcus Smart rips it and goes, thinks he's got a layup, and Drew Holiday makes a great play. But if you saw in the left-hand corner, you saw Tatum, that was a wide pin, and that was a Marcus Smart entry. You got to get the ball in bounds, and then a wide pin down for Tatum. But you know what? They never got to that point. And he made the right play, Marcus. But Drew Holiday, I mean, he made some plays, man, that absolutely are incredible. Look where he comes from. He gets level of the ball. He sees the play developing. I mean, he just makes a great play.
Hits around a sweet spot. The ball goes out of bounds. I see that. But Seth, that brings me to another point. Another point here. So Marcus Smart inbounds the ball, end of game situation, gives it to Al Horford, gets it right back. Me and my point guard mind, I automatically go to, as before that ball even comes back to me, my head is up. I'm looking up the court. I'm seeing what's happening. As soon as that ball hits my hands, one dribble, Seth, I'm making a pass because my head has already seen what's coming towards me and what's available. And I know it's hard to go back and be a Monday morning quarterback and break down a play because he loses the second dribble. But why even have the second dribble to begin with? It should have been one dribble,
ball right up in the pocket, kick the ball ahead to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum has a wide open three.
Yeah, he did, and I tell you, twofold. That play was designed, obviously, Jay, well, you know, when those guys crossed and Al came up and received the basketball, he can either pitch it back and then Marcus makes a play, or he could turn and obviously find Tatum. If you could run that play again, look at half court, because Bobby Portis takes someone out. I think it's Wes Matthews. Absolutely takes him out. You can't see it at half court, but he takes it out. Al could have just turned it and pitched it up the floor. Obviously, last second play, that's something I'm sure they practice. Look at half court. You see someone fall down? I think that's Matthews that falls down. It's
Matthews, yeah, you're right.
But I mean, boom, right there. All right? I mean, that's the reason that Jason Tatum was wide open. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Marcus Smart should have caught it, and he reads the situation. You know, we sat together enough times. You go advantage, disadvantage. If you think you can get to the middle of the floor and make a play, fine. But if you see someone falling down, you got to advance past the ball up the floor. Hard play to make in that time and situation. But, you know, a play you would have liked to see made. I thought the play was great. I think the execution wasn't obviously what the Celtics would have liked. But and make no mistake about it. Here's my complaint. Everything possible that needed to happen for the Bucks to win happened in the last 2 minutes. I mean, like, you couldn't recreate those last 2 minutes again. And I'll tell you, things would be easier for the Bucks. And I heard you guys talking about it. 6-34. Giannis. Gordon Chiesa, the old assistant coach of the Utah Jazz and college coach, used to say, shooting turnovers. Giannis, every time you shoot a three, I know you made those two threes, they're shooting turnovers. Man, you dominate. You punish people in the paint. Get the ball at the elbow down and punish people like only you can do. You're different than everyone else in that area. When you're shooting threes, that's a win for the defense, man.
The coach, Seth Greenberg, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Coach, let's pivot to the other game in tonight's game. The Philadelphia 76ers are facing elimination. What is it that Doc Rivers needs to do to not be sent home packing, not just from the playoffs, but possibly from his job?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't comment on guys' jobs. I've been whacked too many times to comment on other people's jobs. But, look, I mean, James Harden's got to have a flashback to back to who he was, because it's not who he is today. I mean, and I did a tape, but I'm going to do a tape for Get Up. And look, James Harden's a very good player. But between the defensive game plan of the Heat and James Harden not being the guy he was there, like the lack of lift right there, the lack of explosiveness, all right, there's only so much he can do. This team is undermanned in relation to the depth of the Heat. The Heat's depth is absolutely wearing Philadelphia out. If Joel Embiid is not 100% healthy, which he's not 100% healthy, he's the one thing. Play through him, get him touches. He's got to dominate this game. And then James Harden, the game will become easier if you play through Embiid early. So I'd say play through Embiid early. He's got to get a touch. Literally, they got to play through him every single possession in the first quarter, which is going to open up the floor for Harden to have a little bit more space where he can make a play. Because you like the tape I'm going to show this morning, there's no space for Harden to play with the skill set he has now. He's a very good player. High basketball IQ, brilliant, savant in terms of understanding the game. But he's not the guy he was. So you've got to play through the guy who's the difference, and that's Embiid, and live and die with him. And then he opens up the floor for Maxey. He opens up the floor, obviously, for Tobias Harris and James Harden.
You see, Seth, when I think about what Philly needs to do in order to win a championship, I got asked this question the other day. Can James Harden be the second best player on a championship team? And I it took me a second with that question, because I'm like, wait a second. Like, on this team right now that's trying to fight to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, like, he's the third best player now. Like, Tyrese Maxey is the second best player. And if he could be aggressive and it can make shots from the outside defending home court, that's when he's at his best, when he doesn't need to be the primary or secondary offensive option. He can give it to you in little spots here and there, but he's a facilitator first, and that's when James Harden is at his best.
I agree with you, Jay. Well, right now, he that's what he is. Look, he's got a tremendous basketball IQ. He's got a great feel, and he still draws attention. Like, I call it 6 or 8 eyes. When he has the ball, obviously the defense is still locked in because of his size and his strength. So his ability to get rid of it early and get guys shots, that's his greatest strength. I still think the guy's got to get in world-class shape, because to win in the playoffs, you got to be in world-class shape. Look at his numbers in the second half. Second half of games in the playoffs, excluding one game, he's been absolutely horrific. Horrific in terms of having any impact on the game. Forget about made shots and missed shots. Look at his misses, and we talked about this last time. His misses are always different. Look at his inability to create that separation. And the other thing, Jay, well, do you think the way the game's officiated now where he can't draw those fouls takes away from some of his ability to score it and also put pressure on the defense?
Seth, I wanted to bring our attention real quickly to what happened last night with Golden State and Memphis. And I hear when people say, well, it's one game. But, man, they were down 55, Seth, at one point. 55 against a team without Ja Morant. Any concerns for you about Golden State overall?
No, not really. You know, to me, the second half was like a tennis match. You're down 5-love in the match. You know what? You're not going to fight all the way back knowing you're going to lose the set. You see the number of minutes that those starters played. You're going to have one of those games, and the Grizzlies are a pride group. I mean, a prideful group, and they are a tough group. And you know what? They made shots. They made plays. They took it at them. I think the Warriors are just fine. I think it was a perfect storm in a lot of ways. And I actually thought that Mike Brown did a great job of pulling his starters, getting them rest. You get back to San Francisco, and you finish off the series. And I love this Memphis team. I love the chip they play with. I think they do have shot makers. But, no, I don't see this thing going back, you know, to Memphis. I just think that it was one of those games, and I thought that they did a really good job of basically saying, you know, we're not going to get back in this game. We're down 5-love. Why are we going to play Steph? Why are we going to play Klay? I mean, Klay was minus 45 in that game. How about that? He was minus 45. Let's rest these guys. Let's get these other guys some minutes. We'll get back home, and we'll finish off the series.
That is Coach Seth Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN basketball analyst, co-host of Bald Men on Campus.
Bald Men on
you
Campus.
You two guys better not let me down, by the way. You guys better
man,
not let
stop.
Me down.
Man, you already know what this is.
Let's get this thing done.
I'm just praying nobody gets hurt, Seth. That's a win for us, okay?
Keith, set good
and
screens.
By nobody, he means him.
Keith,
he means himself.
Set good screens, roll hard, rebound the ball, bring a little energy, keep my man pumped up. You're good to go.
Thanks, all right. Coach.
All right, Seth.
How big a deal is one off-season one off-season throw.
I can't with you guys in this.
How big a deal is that? Well, apparently it's a pretty big deal. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. You hear the music. You know what that means. Football time. That's right. So, guys, I'm hyped as soon as I hear that music. You hype when you hear that music?
I'm always stoked when I hear that music.
You hype though? You hype when you hear that music, Key?
It's highlights, man. Here come the highlights. Here comes the highlights.
Yeah, it's supposed to be highlights, right? It's supposed to be highlights. Mm-hmm. Get hype. Well, hype videos are supposed to create hype, aren't they? Right? Give you that same kind of feeling.
I can't with y'all.
On Tuesday, the Miami Dolphins, they released a hype video. Your worst enemy would put out there for some reason. I don't know why. So, look, there was no pressure to participate, you know, there's no pressure in a practice situation to try to look your best, whatever. So, Tua Tagovailoa is shown, you know, in street clothes, basically, throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill. They're just playing catch, right? They're practicing. But, man, it looked to me, Key, like Tyreek Hill had to wait a minute for that ball to get to him, maybe come back a little bit. What do you think about, like, but then on the other hand, it's just, height doesn't really matter, right, Jay? Do you think it matters, yes or no?
No.
Well, no, it doesn't. Key, does it matter?
Okay, so Jay says no. So let me ask you this, Jay. Max said that the off-season throws make persons squeal a little bit, wonder. So in the off-season, when you see a guy like Zach Wilson throw the ball and you go, oh, it's the throw of the pro day season. And everybody thinks that matter. And now all of a sudden Tua basically bounces balls at people's feet.
He didn't bounce them at anybody's feet.
Basically, like I said, bounces balls at people's feet in the offseason. Hell yeah, it's a concern.
Man, why?
I play receiver. If I got to sit around and wait on the ball when I'm running, or I got to turn, or I got to twist, or you underthrow me, or you overthrow me, You are getting no pressure.
Key.
You're basically playing pat and go.
Key.
If you can't throw the football in pat and go, I got some issues with that.
This is what it's coming down to. We're taking a video off of IG, and we're doing a forensic assessment.
We didn't post it, though.
Did you see Tyreek Hill? He's jogging out there. He's barely moving.
That's the problem.
It's pat and go, and they're just warming up. So if you pulling up threes in warm-ups and you hit the bottom of the net, meaning not in the net to the bottom, but the bottom of the net airballing them, would that not be a concern for somebody?
Well, first off, I'm talking about a social media team. Like, yo, why'd you post that one instead of, like, the best one, the 10 I made?
Yeah, but wait, isn't that damning? Like, what if that's the best one they could find,
Jay? No,
it's not
the best one. Stop.
Jay,
stop.
This is the reason.
That's the problem.
All these silly-ass narratives are made up.
Key, this is the reason.
You're telling me that's the best ball that Tua threw that day.
Well, you ever notice how on social media sometimes people don't try to put a glamour shot of themselves? They put, like, a weird shot. I think part of that's because if they put, like, a glamour shot, what they're telling you is this is as good as I can look. And if that's not that good, they're like, uh-oh. It's a bad situation in a hype video because the assumption is that's one of his better throws. Why are you not going to include one of his lesser throws?
Man, half the time that these videos are posted by franchises, they don't even consult the player about what video is going to be posted.
No, it's not about the player, though. And I understand what Max is saying. If I'm out there and I'm throwing 15 balls, you usually find the best ball I throw or the best catch I made or the best dunk I got. You don't just grab one and put it up. But if I go through 15 of them and that's the best one and I have to post something.
So that's what we're doing right now? That's how we're tacking on to the Tyreek Hill to a drama?
Well, because
Tyreek played with Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Mahomes would never underthrow Tyreek Hill, he's never done that before. But now there's concern about Tua in an IG video underthrowing a guy who's barely jogging out there. Come on, Keith.
I've never seen it with my eyes that Patrick Mahomes has done that. I see Tua.
Keith, you know, there are people, it might be a kid of yours or a sibling or a friend of yours, no matter what picture they take in any state, they always look good, right? And at a certain point, you just have to come to the conclusion. You know why that is? Because they're good looking.
It's a filter.
You know, like
it's a filter.
No. No matter where you shoot them from, what time of day, what the lighting is, they look good because they're good looking.
Let me tell you something, Jay.
Patrick Mahomes is, well, you and me talking about centers and stuff. Patrick Mahomes is like that. No matter when you see him, you could see it, right? Tua, on the other hand, is someone who tells you that they're not very photogenic.
Let me tell you something, Jay, though.
Tell me
when
something.
When you go through pat and go in warm-ups and things of that nature, and the ball isn't coming off flying and crisp and looking, no one's rushing you. You got all day to just sit back there.
Thank you.
You got all day to pat and go. You can just put the baby to sleep. Nobody's harassing you. And when you underthrow, overthrow, skip a pass, or skip a ball at somebody's feet, that tells me you need to get going a certain way. Now, that's just in this hype video. When they traded for Tyreek Hill, one of the first things I said is, he's going to be underthrowing this dude a lot. Now, Tyreek wasn't even running. Now, imagine if he was running, what it would look like.
I mean,
imagine that. And Jalen
Waddle
last year.
Tyreek's going to have to use his speed key just to get back to the ball.
Yes, Jalen Waddle's yak yards last year was some of the lowest in the National Football League. That's the yak yards is yards after catch. And your yards after catch usually go up because you're getting the ball in rhythm and timing. It's perfect. It's like a handoff. You can tuck it and roll. That's all I'm saying.
So numbers haven't gotten better?
I want to go back to Jay's point about Mahomes because we saw it on ESPN2, the throw against the Browns. All the replies to this Tua video were showing like the Patrick Mahomes throw in the Super Bowl that was behind Tyreek Hill. You know what's happening in all those plays, to Key's point? He's being like rushed
Correct.
By Miles
He's throwing
Garrett
across his body. He's running to the opposite side of the field.
My goodness.
He's being chased by Miles
Patrick. Patrick Mahomes has never had a bad throw.
Across the field.
He is Jesus walking on water. He's never had a bad day.
Jay, if you and I were on a social media team, do you know what kind of throws you could get out of Patrick Mahomes?
Did you just try to compare Tua to Jay? I mean, to Patrick Mahomes.
A
Jay?
Better comparison might be Jay.
I'm not comparing. What do you mean?
Did
trying
you
to compare
just try to compare
Tua
to Patrick Mahomes? I'm just
what do you mean trying to compare Tua to Patrick Mahomes?
His
what would make you think I did that? I didn't compare that throw.
I said that's a throw they put up on the screen. Do you think they're the same person?
I'm just saying you guys are drawing a pretty harsh conclusion off an IG video that was posted.
I'm not drawing a
No, it's doubling down on this whole narrative that there's major concerns about Tua, even though his play has gotten a lot better watching last year.
I'm just asking the question.
But the Dolphins told you there should be major concern because they tried to trade for Deshaun Watson.
No, I disagree with that.
And they were interested in Tom Brady.
Yeah, but
that was more so Brian Flores.
Almost any quarterback you have, if Deshaun Watson or Tom Brady are available, I don't take that as a negative Tua thing. They're just like.
No, they're trying to upgrade the position. Yeah, that's all it is. They're just trying to upgrade the position. But that tells you that they're looking for something different.
Well, it was Deshaun Watson, though, Key. A lot of teams are looking for something different.
Let me tell you what the difference
is. Yeah, but I bet you if Deshaun Watson was available, the Buffalo Bills ain't looking for Deshaun Watson.
Well, because their quarterback was in the MVP conversation 2 years ago.
Kansas City ain't looking for Deshaun Watson.
Well, because he's been to straight how many AFC championships?
Key, I have a question about
Tua. You're comparing him
the Rams ain't looking for Deshaun Watson.
Hey, Key, well, that would have been the case two years ago before Matthew Stafford became their guy and fell in love with Sean McVay in the jacuzzi.
Key, we're talking about arm strength now. I mean, like, the thing about Tua really is the arm strength. I think there's lots of other stuff to like about him, but he does not have the strongest arm.
You don't have to have the strongest arm, Max. What you have to do is you have to get the football out in rhythm. You have to hit your back foot and let it rip. It's all about timing and everything. A lot of people think that you have to have the strongest arm. Chad Pennington didn't have the strongest arm. In fact, he had a water pistol for an arm, but he was able to throw it with accuracy and in rhythm.
Yeah. Brandon Marshall told me on this just then, he called Tua a slow blinker. So, you know.
A slow blinker?
Yeah, got to get quicker. Got to blink.
Got to get quicker.
Got to blink quicker.
Got to process your reads the information, man.
Quicker. Yeah. We'll continue this conversation. Get some breaking news from Diana Russini.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Diana Russini.
What's up with the DMs, Di?
Nobody messages me like, man, I love your knowledge. You really put Max in his place. Everyone's like, your toes are sexy.
What?
It's like, I don't want to hear that.
Whoa, the toes are. Do you have the toes out today? I'm not in studio. I can't see it.
She clearly takes great care of them, you know?
Thank you, Max. I cannot stand a man that has nasty feet. I think it tells you
that's why Max keeps your shoes on.
Exactly. You know
Keyshawn, J. Will, the Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers, and you can download the podcast, and you can hear us on the ESPN app, and you can see us on ESPN 2, and
hey,
there is Diana Russini.
Max, you got nasty feet?
Yeah. Right now, yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I lived in L.A., they were on point because they had to be.
Come on, man.
Right? But
groomed,
in New York,
man.
Come on, man. No one's seen my toes groomed. For a grip.
Got to get them groomed.
For a grip. Because Diana certainly agreed with Jay when he said you had nasty feet. She was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she wouldn't know. She could just probably sense it on me.
I could smell them from here.
She could look at me and go, that's the kind of guy who probably got some nasty feet. Isn't that right, Diana?
No, Max, you're very put together. I actually noticed that the second I walk into the studio almost every Tuesday and Thursday, head to toe, always almost perfect. So I'm sure your feet are wonderful.
Lies, and more lies.
Stop with these fallacies.
Diana, you
tweeted. A lot of lies today, guys. I wanted to start off nice. I feel like I come on this show and I just hammer you. Key, last week or the other day, I was actually thinking about this. I went for a walk and I'm like, I was so mean to Key. I know we were talking about MVP candidates and I was mocking your picks because they were so obvious. And it wasn't that they were so obvious. They were great picks. So I feel like I need to apologize to you for really. I felt like I was being a bit of a bully. I was being a bully, Key, and I don't want to be that person anymore. So today, you're going to get the nice version of me. So let's see how this goes.
Okay, right. Well, look, Key, Diana tweeted something that we've been talking about on this show that I want to get to. I think this is very important. Here's the quote. Last night, my husband asked me which stovetop is my favorite on our stove, and now I can't stop thinking if there's a right answer, and you say front left, Diana. Is that right?
I do. Front left. I got a lot of responses to that tweet, which it's always one of those things where you don't really understand it until after you do it. Like, wow, this is a topic people really want to weigh in on. My favorite response I got was, your marriage seems really dull, which that observation was fantastic. But the truth is, it was really just a casual, we were just making dinner. Our time together is very different since we had a baby. So it's like, you know, when we cook, that's our time to catch up. And we're just standing there in front of the stove, staring into space. And he just is like, what's your favorite stovetop? I'm like, are you really asking me that? I'm like, isn't it obvious, the left one? He's like, oh, no, I love the right one. Yeah. I'm like, wait,
he says
is
right.
There, is there a right, yeah, I'm, you know, yeah, is there a right answer to this?
Yes, it's the right. Yes.
He says right, too. I think it's left.
Well,
why?
You say it's the front right.
Me
Jay
too.
Thinks it's the front right in the back.
Yeah, I'm the back right corner.
But
right
corner, it needs to be.
What?
It's the front right.
That
back
is
right
the whole.
Well, die,
well,
die, let me explain. Die, let me explain. Because your little one is, he is, it's a he, right?
It is a heat. He's only 9 months, so
okay,
he can't
right.
touch anything.
Yeah, so he's not reaching up there trying to. My kids, Amelia's trying to reach up there, grab stuff.
Kids got hops.
The
they're already
like,
jumping up on the stove.
I can't do that, so I have to get it away from you. That's why I go back right.
When Jay boils water for
yes.
Okay,
his
that's
coffee.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what was
coffee.
It before you had kids, Jay? What was it before you
I
had
didn't
kids?
Cook.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's left too, Diana. Let me tell you why. No. Because if you're right-handed, it's almost like your mitt in baseball going on your left hand. Because if it's front left, then you can reach things if you're right-handed with your right hand, and you can manipulate what you have to manipulate with your right hand. Just hold the pan with your left hand. So I like front left.
No, you got to go front
that,
right.
That's a true athletic perspective. It's obvious that you and I are the athletes on this show, Max, because I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, right.
With the front left. Right. That makes so much sense. You know what's funny, guys? I went around the seaport where you guys are, and I just walked up to everyone and asked them their thoughts. And actually, Tim Legler gave me the most unique answer. He said, the fifth one. I said, what do you mean the fifth one? He said, our stove has one in the middle where we boil water for pasta and stuff, and it does it, I guess, in some, like,
what?
Crazy, you know, like, 4 seconds. It, like, heats
can't
it up.
Hide money.
So
French,
that's the
French oven.
That's the truth. Exactly. That's what I said. I was like, legs, oven. I wish quite a little too fancy for me, but yes.
Guys, I don't have.
At the end of the day, though, I felt like Stephen A. agreed with me and Max, and he gave the final answer. I kind of feel like he's got the final say on it, and he said front left as well, which, you know, God knows. I think he meant his cook. I don't think he meant himself.
I don't have the stomach for this transition. Evan, can you please do the line on this transition? I just can't do it.
Speaking of touching a hot stove, how about Tua in Miami?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Diana, we were just talking about the hype video. Like, you make a hype video, you're supposed to make your guy look good. Miami releases a so-called hype video of Tua trying to get the ball to Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill has to wait for it, go back to it. Like, that's the best video they could find.
Di, please tell these guys to stop.
Okay, so I had a couple thoughts when I saw that as well. Because I watched it a few times, I think, like a lot of people listening. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's worth checking out. Just because my first reaction to it was, why? Why are we posting this? This is the best time of year for any organization, specifically down in Miami, right? They had perhaps the best trade of the offseason. They have this incredible piece that they added. Right now, the optimism is at its highest. Less is more. And just from a social media perspective, I know we like to talk about this a lot. I spend like 30 minutes deciding what picture I want to post of my cup of coffee, right? Everyone puts so much effort into what they post. So you're telling me that's the best they could have done? That's the best video they had?
No.
I just feel like they could have done better.
But women are so much smarter than men. Like, guys don't look at it that way. Like, my wife is like, oh, I don't like the angle of that. I don't like the lighting. I don't like the details. You don't want to post that. Well, a lot of times, guys are like, oh, just get it up there.
You're saying that's a dude who posted that picture?
Yeah. There we go. Great.
That's a dude who posted that picture?
Most definitely.
That's 1,000%. Why my DMs are blowing up and yours aren't, Jay.
Thank you, Diana. Well. Much more KJM next on ESPN Radio Sirius XM Channel
You've
80.
Been in love, Jay.
Shut up, Key.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.